I'm playing this because I'm hoping that it might bring the Cleveland Cavaliers some good karma. The 16-time heavyweight champion of the world is supposed to be at Quicken Loans Arena for Game 3 of the NBA Finals coming up on Wednesday, a game that you can hear here on AM 930 WEOL. I mean, if the Nature Boy is going to be in town, that's got to give the Cavs some good karma, right?
Sure. I would hope so. Isn't that the theme to 2001 A Space Odyssey?
Nope, it's the theme for the Nature Boy Ric Flair and nothing else. That's all there is to it.
All right.
Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. It's rumored that Ric Flair will be at Quicken Loans Arena on Wednesday, but we know for a fact that our guest right now, Rick Noland of the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette, will for sure be down at Game 3 of the NBA Finals at the Q on Wednesday. Rick, thanks for joining us as always. And, boy, I'm not even sure where to begin with how poorly things have gone for the Cavs so far in this series. You know, we heard it there a few moments ago in that Fox Sports report that there could be some changes coming to the starting lineup for the Cleveland Cavaliers. But let's start with this, Rick. I mean, boy, regardless of what those changes might be at this point, is it really going to matter? Do they have the dogs in the fight to hang with the Warriors?
You know, I honestly don't know. I tend to believe I don't think they do. I advocated for the lineup change with JR and Iman Shumpert after game one. And that's a change, and you got to change something when you're playing this poorly and getting outplayed this badly. But does it alter the end result? I don't know. But you got to try something, and I think the Cavs are nearing that point where they should try anything and everything, because they're not beating this team. They're not really even competing with this team with their present game plan.
That's the scary thing to me, Rick. You're right, because they're hardly even competing.
Andy, I was gonna end that with a loud-pitched Ric Flair woo for you, but I'm suffering from a bit of a sore throat and a cold, so I passed on that one. So
that's all right. Hey, hopefully Nature will be there on Wednesday, and he can do all the wooing for us, and hopefully he's got something to woo about. That would be nice. But I tell you, you're right, because when you look at the numbers in these games, it's astonishing. It really is. And, you know, they played pretty well. The Cavs, they hung with them in the first half. But, Rick, you look at these numbers, the Warriors turned the ball over 20 times yesterday, and that game was in the bag with 5 minutes left. It's just incredible. And I guess, do they have anybody on this roster that can at least attempt to slow Kevin Durant down besides LeBron?
Well, I mean, I think LeBron, you know, is capable of doing that, but he's been victimized by some back cuts. He's been forced to exert so much energy on the offensive end that I don't know if you guys noticed it, but I noticed in game three or in the third quarter of game two last night that he was just absolutely exhausted in the third period. He was having a hard time getting a breath. So maybe that's one of the things they can do, is to get him off of Durant and allow him to exert that much more energy offensively and as a help defender. Now, as phenomenal as Durant has been, I think he is a guy you can guard with a smaller type player, be it Iman Shumpert, who would be giving up 7 inches, or JR, who would be giving up 5. It might sound ludicrous, but if you watch Durant play, 90% of what he gets begins with him facing the basket. He's not a guy who posts with his back to it very often. He prefers to go off and from the outside in. So you can force him to go small, and if doing that results in Golden State trying to post him up more often than normal, you've actually recorded a small victory right then in Golden State changing what has been so successful for two games. So that's a possibility. Somebody's still got to defend Steph. the bench has to do something besides miss shots. Tristan's got to be the Tristan we grew accustomed to seeing on the offensive boards and defensively for the most of the regular season and the first three rounds of the playoffs. And that's a lot of got to be's and ifs. And, you know, Golden State, Andy, not only did they score 132 points last night, they did it while committing 20 turnovers. So that's 20 possessions they didn't even get a shot on. If give them 50% shooting on half of those, and they have 152 points, which I honestly thought they were on the verge of getting after that 40-point first quarter. But I don't know. I don't have answers. I don't think, well, look what happened last year is an answer. That's a kind of a cop-out, something to cling to, got nothing better thing for fans at this point. I think there's hope that the home crowd inspires a bit, particularly maybe helps bench players relax and make some shots. But I don't know that you can say if we do this, this, and this, we're going to win game three, let alone win four times in the five remaining possible games in this series. I think that's what it's come to right now. I hate to be Debbie Downer, and I know it looked just as bleak, if not bleaker, last year, but last year the Warriors didn't have Kevin Durant, and last year the Cavs had multiple players playing a bit better from games three on in this series. They're going to need every bit of that. They're going to need the big three to be the big three all in one game come Wednesday, and not two out of three, because that's not good enough.
You mentioned it, Rick. The Cavaliers return home here for game three coming up on Wednesday. I don't know. I want to ask if there's anything to home court, but it looks like Golden State's been just as good on the road this year as they have been at home, haven't they?
They haven't lost a game in the playoffs, yeah. So that's 100% sure. But, yeah, I mean, they're a seasoned road team. You know, even though they're down 2-0, the pressure is on the Cavs to win both of these games, not just one of them, but both of them. And before they win both, they got to win one. So, you know, the common theory is they'll come out with a huge push in game three with the ride that wave of momentum and then see what happens after that. But that's not even a guarantee against this Golden State team. I mean, Cleveland's given up 35 and 40 points in the first two games of this series. And you can't build a lead if you're giving up that many points right off the bat. So they got to commit defensively, focus. There's been too many blown assignments against way too good of a team to think that just traveling across the country is going to cure everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of elements in play here, and especially that, too. It's not like you're just going to wave your magic wand because they're at home, they've got the crowd behind them, that's going to change things. It's too bad, too, because you kind of feel like these first two games, a couple of great performances by LeBron James have really kind of been wasted because of the fact they've come out on the wrong end of the decision. But, you know, Kevin Love played pretty well in yesterday's game. But, I mean, if you're to take a look at another guy or two that really has to step up, I look at three guys here, Rick, and I think you might agree. They've got next to nothing from Kyle Korver so far. Now all of a sudden it just seems like he can't buy a shot. Tristan Thompson, you alluded to already, you know, for a guy that's getting the kind of money he's getting, while he was big in Game 6 in the finals last year, he's really kind of put on a nice little disappearing act the first two games in the finals this season. And J.R. Smith, you know, Rick, you tweeted some numbers out about J.R. a little earlier, and, you know, as much as we all love J.R., they've got to get more out of him. He's arguably the best perimeter defender that they've got, but he's not offering much there, and he's not making anything offensively.
No, I would agree with the first two in Korver and Thompson. I would think that the probability of JR being the guy to rise up is going to be very minimal, because I think he's going to get minimal playing time. We're talking about a guy who scored the first 3 points of this series and hasn't scored since, and who has a grand total of 2 rebounds and 0 assists in the entire series. And then you toss in some silly fouls, some blown defensive assignments and almost to the point of being a non-compete out there. I don't know that you can give him any chance to get going right now. He only played 14 minutes last night. Could be less than that Wednesday unless he comes in and bombs two or three threes right off the bat or starts and does the same. But he's not even missing shots, Andy. He's not taking shots, and he's pump faking and trying to dribble, and that's usually not a good result for the Cavs. Korver's a guy I think they can have some faith that he's going to start making shots. He's done it his entire career. Role players tend to play better in front of the home crowd. If the Cavs can stay in the game, let's forget about winning it for a while and just concentrate on staying in it. Then you know a three here and a three there become infinitely more valuable than when you're down 17 or 18 and you're making one. And Tristan just plain has to be better. He's got to be better defensively. He's got to be more physical. He's got to be more emotional. He's got to be more active. And if he's not, I think he could be on a fairly short leash. I think the other alternative, because they have no options of going bigger, is they can only go smaller, and that would mean playing Love at center, LeBron at power forward with whomever three, Kyrie, and then wherever else you want to put out there, be it Korver, Shump, Richard Jefferson, and try to match the Warriors that way. But you're not going to beat the Warriors playing Warriors basketball very often, and I think that's been a kind of a mistake in the first two games of this series as well that's kind of gotten overlooked. I get that Ty Lue wants to play with pace, but you have to do that with intelligence and at the right moments. You can't commit 20 turnovers like they did in game one. You can't take bad shots and pass up good ones and try to get in a scoring match with this team. That's Golden State's MO, and then you're not going to beat them too often in the 100 teams or above. And, you know, they've given up 113 and 132 so far. So I would be much more in favor, from a Cavs standpoint, to see them try to slow the pace, ugly up the game, knock a few people down, take some fouls in transition just to stop a break, and try to keep this game in the low 100s. That's easier said than done, but I think that's how they win this series. I mean, game seven last year was 93-89. It wasn't 133-129. So the less points that are scored, the better chance of the game being close. If the game is close, then the Cavs have a chance. And I think right now they have to at least give themselves a chance, from the midpoint of the fourth quarter on, and put some pressure on Golden State. See if those shots come as free and easy when the game is on the line. It's not impossible, but it's going to take, you can't be perfect in a 48-minute game, but you've got to be extremely smart and extremely efficient, and they have not been either nearly often enough in this series so far. I wish I had something more positive for you guys. I the flip side of this is if they do win game three, and I think if they're going to avoid getting swept, then that's the game they have to win. If they win, then from a series standpoint, they're magically back in it. They're one win away from evening it up, and they go from there. But you can't even think that far ahead right now. You got to win a quarter first, and then win a second quarter, and then not get abolished in the third quarter, which they have been in both games so far. So baby steps, baby steps, baby steps. Sure. You get to the end, and then you hope, big shots go your way, a few defensive stops go your way, and you get one, and then you try to build off that going into game four.
Rick, we talk about the players need to step up and try and get something going, and I think you alluded to it a little bit there, but Ty Lue, I mean, how much of the responsibility of what's happening right now falls on his shoulders, if any? I mean, obviously, Golden State's a stacked team.
Yeah. Like I said, the biggest issue I have is with trying to play the same incredible pace that Golden State plays at. From a fan standpoint, that first half last night was just absolutely incredible to watch. And you're 67-64 at intermission, and you're having one 8-point swing one way, followed by another 8-point swing the other way. Highly entertaining basketball, but the Warriors have more weapons to play that pace for 48 minutes than the Cavs do. So. Mm-hmm. I have a little question mark in his decision to do that. I think after that, you know, he's relied on the same guys pretty much all year with the ninth guy in their rotation alternating in the playoffs between Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye. But there's only so much he can do. Kyle Korver's not suddenly going to become a lockdown defender, and Iman Shumpert's not suddenly going to become a score off the dribble, make fadeaway 3-point score. You know, they have to do what they do and do it well. When your bench consists of 3-point shooters and you're not making 3-point shots, sure, you're going to struggle in that area. And when two of your five starters are giving you a next to nothing, and you know, two members of your big three have kind of alternated decent games, you're going to struggle. So the big three, I think they all have to have very good to great games in the same game. If they do that, I think they definitely have a chance, particularly if one or two guys could just get hot and make three or four three-pointers. That can go a long, long way. Because the Cavs bench has been a point-producing bench in the regular season, capable of big runs. They're not out there for defense, for rebounding, for offensive creativity. They're out there basically to make shots. That's what they have, is, you know, Shumpert and three guys who are lights-out three-point shooters in theory, and they have not been that. So if those things can happen, they can still win. You know, Ty Lue could try to pull a rabbit out of his hat. One of the most popular things on my Twitter page seems to be play Derek Williams. I'm not saying I'm against trying anything at this point. But there has to be a method to all that. You can't suddenly just say, let's throw this guy in and see what happens. You have one more poor shooter on the floor than with the second unit to gain some athleticism. And you know, is the reward worth the risk that Golden State just suddenly leaves him open and he can't make shots? And then you're worse off than you were before. So your great players got to be great, and your role players have to fill their roles. And LeBron's been fantastic. I throw one more thing at you. I think he's like 28.5 points, 13 rebounds, and 11 assists through the first two games of the series. And they've not had a chance in either one of them. So I don't know how much more you can ask of him other than to score 45 and be a little better defensively. But, you know, as inhuman as the guy appears at times, he is human, and he can only play so hard so long, and he needs help. And right now they haven't given him nearly enough help.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. As you stated before, they need those role players to start to fill their roles and help out LeBron. Well, I'll tell you what, Rick, game three Wednesday down at Quicken Loans Arena. They'll tip it at 9 o'clock. Let's hope the Cavaliers give you and Ric Flair plenty of reasons to woo throughout the queue, my friend.
That hurt. I'm not doing that again.
Hopefully you don't have to do it again till Wednesday.
All righty.
Rick, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right. That's Rick Nolan from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette.